Flights of Hope. Stories of hope and inspiration with the Mental Health Forum, in partnership with Southern Protect Life Implementation Group. Read in March of 2023. Welcome to the 2023 edition. This booklet of featured stories and messages of hope is our gift to you as we launch our new peer-led project. Flights of Hope will bring a positive and hopeful balance to the mental wellness and suicide awareness narrative online, and will also offer direct encouragement, inspiration and hope to anyone who feels alone or helpless in the face of struggles. We'll do this by curating a living archive of stories and media on our website, social media posts, and by providing a free downloadable booklet featuring some of the encouraging, inspirational and hopeful submissions of everyday people from the Southern Trust area. Copies of the latest digital edition can be found at www.thementalhealthforum.co.uk. For more information or to get involved, you can contact our team on 028 3025 2423. You can help others by sharing something of your own wellness and resilience story. Email elainefogarty42@gmail.com to learn more, request a submission form, or access support to create your own piece. All personal contact information is handled with confidentiality. The Flights of Hope project is completely designed and managed by service user and carer members of the Mental Health Forum, and that authentic experience will nurture and grow this public resource with sensitivity and peer understanding. Thank you for being part of it. The Flights of Hope project team. Circles, a poem by Sean. Days became nights, weeks lasted months. Harsh reality buried its head in brittle sand. False promises stole golden hearts. Medusa turned empathy to stone. Safe talk outed tangled thoughts, squatting in layers of gloom. Melancholy faded. Normal life re-engaged. A Lifelong Journey, a story by Pauline. I was working as a secretary in Belfast, and life was great, or so I thought. Then one day I started to have panic attacks and didn't realise what was happening to me. Eventually I went to see my doctor and was diagnosed with anxiety. This continued and I had time off work and then ended up in hospital with depression. This made me feel hopeless and worthless, as mental health issues were not talked about so openly in the early 1990s. When I came out of hospital, I was able to return to work. I believed I was cured, but had a relapse over 2 years later. This time, looking back, I was very unwell and handed in my notice at work. It was due to a build-up of various things all happening in my life at the one time. I was hospitalised again, but this time I got more support and a diagnosis of bipolar affective disorder. Over the years, I have learned how to live with bipolar and to cope on a day-to-day basis. From 2010, I started doing community courses and learned new skills such as mindfulness. I've made close friendships through doing voluntary work with Marie Curie, the Conservation Volunteers, and Southern Health and Social Care Trust Recovery College. I enjoyed doing the RAP course as it taught me a lot about myself and how to use coping skills in my everyday life. I was helped greatly by my CPN and my confidence grew, and as a result my outlook is more positive. After completing stage 2 of the Mental Health Forum's capacity building program, I felt more empowered and many opportunities are opening up to me. I'm enjoying life again and have more self-belief. I believe that recovery is a lifelong journey with its ups and downs, and there is always hope. RAP, Wellness Recovery Action Planning, is a copyrighted personal awareness and wellness skills program developed by Dr. Mary Ellen Copeland. Life at a Better Pace, a story by Deirdre. After initially testing negative, I still felt horrible and I couldn't work out why. I had severe pain in my head and was so tired I couldn't remember things, and I felt like I'd done a workout with Mike Tyson. 2 weeks later, in July of 2022, my GP advised I had long COVID. This caused stress and anxiety. It not only impacted on my mental health, but I've also gained weight due to the limited energy. Some days I didn't get out of bed. I became annoyed at myself because I didn't have the energy to support my son who has a mental illness. I didn't have the energy to text or chat or go for a coffee with family or friends. Doctors could only give meds for the pain and had little guidance for me. My small family network helped me build myself up, each offering their element of support. Some others around me seemed to believe long COVID was a myth, so I'm very grateful to those who supported me and never doubted the reality. I tried to set small goals such as a walk, coffee and phone call when able, but quite often would cancel. I soon learned that I had to approach life at a different pace and that it's okay to say no. It took me 3 days to put my Christmas tree up, and no, it's not the same size as the City Hall, but I knew to do what and when I was capable of doing to help my recovery. After Christmas, I wasn't feeling better, but I felt I needed structure in my life, so I spoke to my HR department about a phased return to work. Their willingness to facilitate me was a big help. A promotion opportunity came up, despite feeling nervous and feeling like my brain was just mush, a symptom of my long COVID, I pushed myself to apply. I was delighted to learn that my interview was successful and I got the promotion. Despite my health challenges and anxiety, I've since been told I came across confident and competent, so don't be afraid to push yourself, but know your limitations. I've realised the importance of looking after myself and doing what I am physically and mentally capable of, and I will also try to lose the weight at my own pace. I know this is a work in progress, and I'm proving to myself that there is light at the end of this. To help my recover recently, I got a Doth piercing to ease my migraines and Shen Men to help with stress, and so far it seems helpful and positive. I feel I will always have side effects from long COVID, but can honestly say it helped me slow down and go through life at a better pace for me. I know my boundaries and that it's okay to say no or to do what my body will allow me to do. Finding Control, a story by Andrea. I had a hospital admission in my early 20s for a psychosis episode, and back then I saw my future as lonely, bleak and dark. I began listening to those closest to me and the nurses as I started to realise that they wanted to help me and I could trust them. They brought me back to my love of art and I was able to use it as a way of relaxing. I slowly changed my outlook on life. I found the importance of slowing down and I became patient. I started taking more time for self-care. My connection to my family became stronger. My recovery journey was slow and steady, but these small steps eventually created big leaps. I created goals and reflections and took one day at a time. I have discovered self-care, positive self-confidence, and a sense of purpose. Today I am positive and hopeful. I can live a fulfilling life. Recovery for me means being in control. Being in control means the chaos of psychosis can become manageable and slowly fade away. This has helped me look after my wellness and my happiness. The message I'd like people to hear is, remember your self-worth and purpose. You can live a fulfilling life even with psychosis. Choice. An anonymous story. On medical papers, I was diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety and depression. I have experienced sexual, physical, emotional, mental and financial abuse throughout this life. People who live with the above diagnosis can fall into, even without wanting to, a lot of unhealthy outlets to release pain or feelings that you're going through and coping with. People see vulnerability, so take advantage. Even showing empathy and understanding, it is the bread and butter to a manipulative person to use their own advantage. So what changed? I reached out for help in the right direction. My doctor connected me with mental health care and led me to helpful skills and tools such as RAP and more, which could be tailored to my needs. I started to see things from a different perspective. I started to see I could take control of my reaction to other people and their negative thoughts, actions and words. I have the choice whether to react or not. I learned the best way to react to them is no contact. If with children involved, then as little as possible. These people are emotional vampires. And you are a source of food to them when you get upset and react. My understanding and healing have begun. I've started to want to grow, and I've been given tools for a new way of seeing, living, and learning in life. I want more. I'm excited for the future. My key worker unlocked a new world for me. I have a choice. I've learned that no one can take away my choice, and I've learned to reframe my reactions to situations or life experiences. I have choice today and every day moving forward. This is like a seed, needs regular maintenance, love and care. It's a long-term relationship with yourself, no quick fixes. Be patient and kind to yourself. Do self-care. And know that even through the dark days with no sun, tomorrow is a new day and the sun will come out tomorrow and persevere. Tomorrow is always a new day. Feel the fear and step out into a new you. This story is accompanied by a photograph of two people looking out over a scenic lake. The caption reads, walking in the country next to lakes and nature is an amazing experience. I survived addiction, so can you. A story by Jeff. I was stressed for years because of my management job with a large car firm and my failing marriage. I started to have severe pain in my lower spine, which led to a loss of job and an opioid addiction. I had to get drugs like morphine every day to help with the pain, but it was the drugs that fueled the pain. In 2016, with loss of my job, marriage and children, I took to buying opioids on the dark web and was in and out of hospital due to overdosing and breathing difficulties. My lowest point was when I was intubated and on oxygen for 1 week. I decided it had to stop or I would die. My daughter's a doctor and she got me into rehab in Bristol where she lives. She saved my life. After 3 months in rehab, I was put on Subutex and I'm getting better slowly. I still have good days and bad days, but I'm alive. I'm starting to socialise more now due to the help from the team at St Luke's, my GP, and the Mental Health Forum. Surviving addiction is possible. You need to work hard. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it. Wellness Wheels, a short story by Yunan. It took 2 years of being stuck in the house for me to finally realise I could and should take more responsibility for my own wellness. Lockdown sucked, and the COVID pandemic was a horrible thing, but something good came out of it for me. I have a mental illness, and for years that's all I had focused on, coping best I could, and not ending up back in hospital. Life was just a jarring cycle of good mental health and poor mental health, and that's all I had the ability to see. Looking back, it was like trying to drive a car with square wheels. My car runs better now. I'm going places. I've got my wellness wheels. I finally figured out that there were 5 ways to round them out, and by this year I'd gotten good at checking the pressure in the tyres too. Who'd have guessed it? That Take 5 thing actually does work. Starfish, a story by Lauren. When I was a little girl, I loved searching for starfish at the beach with my granda. I was mesmerised by their beauty. As an adult in recovery, I learned the true meaning of the starfish, and their strong message of hope is deeper than the ocean itself. A starfish embraces a process of letting go. When attacked, it detaches from its limb in order to escape and survive. The resilient starfish isn't worried about what it lost because it trusts in the journey ahead. When it loses a limb, it can grow it back. How incredible is that? As people in recovery, we also have the ability to heal and transform. In some situations, the lost limb can renew and become a completely new starfish altogether. I think that's an important inspiration in recovery. From a state of brokenness and loss, we can find hope and possibility in a new beginning. Over time, we can rewire our brains in a new way that allows us to thrive rather than merely survive. I realise that although my bipolar disorder is a lifelong illness, I can manage it by putting positive habits in place. My recovery journey has not been straightforward. Over time, I have had to adapt. This wasn't easy with an all-or-nothing mindset. I often felt that I should give up altogether because my original goal wasn't possible. I didn't adapt after my hospital admission and bipolar diagnosis. Repeatedly, I would dive in head first and then would crash. This self-sabotaging made me feel even more hopeless each time. The thing about recovery is you learn about your limitations. You learn the importance of being honest with yourself. You may go through setbacks like I did. But please know, you are never back at square one. The wisdom and experience gained have shaped you. You'll never lose that. But like me, you may need to let go and to renew your vision for life, your thinking patterns, and how you see yourself. I have learned to recognise thoughts such as, I have to do it right. It's not good enough. I can't ask for help. I can then challenge these beliefs and renew my approach. Mindfulness meditation has given me a new appreciation that my mind and body are doing the best they can. They have kept me safe, kept me breathing and alive, surviving crisis and challenge. With a new suspected diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome last year, I have had to learn to let go of the need to be working. I don't need to earn rest and recovery. I deserve it just as I am. I've learned to let go of strict routines for the day and just adjust to how I'm feeling mentally and physically. I have learned a new coping skill called pacing, balancing periods of activity with rest so that I can reduce burnout. Having a purpose is important to me, so I have renewed this through volunteer work. I am currently volunteering with the Mental Health Forum in an administrative role, and I am involved in other projects as a service user representative. When you renew your definition of healing and purpose, you focus on what actually gives you hope on the inside rather than it looking good on the outside. It's a very personal thing. So next time you're at the beach, pause and remember the starfish within, your ability to go through an ongoing process of renewal and regeneration. Some days in recovery are harder than others, and we struggle just to get through the day. When this happens, we can choose to be critical of ourselves, or we can take back our power. A message of encouragement from Marion. Staying well in difficult times isn't about having all the right answers. It's more about asking yourself the right questions. A message of encouragement from Tracy W. My mom always said, never lose hope. You don't know what might be round the next corner. A message of encouragement from Owen. I thought after my diagnosis that it was the end of normal life, but in fact it was the start of a new journey. Woodland Walks, a story by Linda. When life gets noisy, busy, or overstimulating, I grab my phone and head out for a walk in the nearby woods. I walk slowly and drink in my stories or podcasts for a while. Eventually, it gets slipped into my pocket and I walk in silent conversation with the woodland. That peaceful, shared time settles me and fills me. When I return home, I'm less anxious and agitated, and I feel lighter, and I smile easier. My woodland walks are my best coping tool right now. The world is loud and busy, and my walks help me connect with what's important. They keep me well. A piece of colourful, abstract art with the title Figures in a Landscape. The caption reads, Art has kept my head above water. Mark. The best days are yet to come. A story by Paul. The pain of death never changes. It never does. Yet still, continuing the trying road of day-to-day life, living on day by day, surviving day by day, many undertakings of the mind, of the soul, and of the body, facing the storm with hope of a better and brighter future ahead, superior days ahead, cheerier days ahead, days of hope, hope of colourful hours instead of shadows and low light beams. The best days are yet to come. My Recovery Journey, a poem by Trudy. My journey has been one of discovery and recovery, a roller coaster of emotions at times, learning new skills like CBT and self-care, and to myself, always trying to be kind. Reconnecting with nature and a previous hobby, a passion I shared with my late mother. The garden became my refuge and my safe place, allowing me the space and peace to recover. The fresh air and sunlight always help boost my mood as I take notice of the bees, birds and flowers, the colours and sounds and tastes of sweet fruit. I can get lost in this haven for hours. Watering the plants helps keep me active. There is always so many jobs to be done. My anxiety eases as I forget work and life pressures. I pace myself, doing tasks one by one. My love for gardening grows each passing year, sowing seeds, nurturing plants, and growing veg. There's no better feeling than the soil in your hands. My mind often wanders as I'm pruning the hedge. And so this is a snapshot of my recovery journey, where gardening has played such a big part. Through sharing my story, I hope to help others by giving back a little piece of my heart. No Longer Alone and Invisible, a story by Jenny. When I look back now on my life, I'm amazed by the strength I somehow found. If I hadn't reached out for help, it could all have been so different. If I could give one message to other people, it would be, you are not alone. I've had some tough battles and even a suicide attempt. I've lived a lot of years feeling hopeless and invisible, but I'm still here, and I'm building up a life that feels good. Things started to turn around for me because of a random card I saw at a community centre. I don't know what made me lift it, but I'm glad I did. It could be easy to see myself as a victim because of all the horrible things that happened to me and my brother as kids. For quite a few years, I believed I had no worth to anyone and that life had nothing good in it. I wasn't physically abused, but I had deep emotional scars and an inability to connect with people around me because I couldn't trust anybody. I didn't feel like a victim, though. I believed back then that it had all been my fault. I carried all that history around with me every day, and I felt unlovable and useless. One day, when I was in my 20s, I saw a card for a helpline, and I brought it home, and I called that same night. Twice I dialed and hung up. Then, finally, I managed to fumble my way through a first sentence. The conversation took a while to get going, but once I felt comfortable and started to talk, I couldn't stop. It was a long time ago, and I can still remember one thing she said towards the end of the call. You've been very brave tonight, and I know that that kind of strength won't go away. It's in you. No one can take it away. And if you need to call again, we'll be here. She was a lovely, patient lady, and her calm acceptance meant that I finally felt safe to let go. I talked, I cried, I felt exhausted, and I slept. When I woke up, the world seemed a little less scary and a little less dark. I didn't start using the word hope for a couple of years, but looking back, that's what was different that morning. That random helpline card helped me find my hope, and from there I found my courage. In counselling a few months later, I found my strength. Now I'm working on trust. I've a ways to go yet in this journey, but I'm not even 30 yet. There's no rush. I'm starting to accept that I have something to offer the world and slowly starting to try and trust the people around me. I don't know what the future holds, but I feel strong enough to face it. And I've recently learned in my support group that that's called resilience. I think I like that, and I'm planning on learning more about it. She Saved Me, a story by Elaine. This photo shows 80s me, all denim, permed bob, smiles, and secrets. My photo album shows lots of happy, youthful days because they were plentiful and real. My childhood and early adult years were indeed filled with a loving family and good friends. But underneath all that, occasionally crept a nameless darkness I could only talk about with a Samaritan's helpline. By this age, I had already established self-harm as a regular coping tool and had had two suicidal crises. And all that hidden because I didn't understand it and had no words to try and explain it to the people I loved in an otherwise good life. I look at her now and I want to thank her. She saved me. Before people used words like recovery and self-care, and before the world saw mental illness with kinder eyes, she had the courage to reach out and talk to someone. She kept her secrets because they were different days, but she still found a way to keep herself safe. I've travelled a convoluted and challenging journey in the years since. Yet, even with diagnosis, treatment, support, further crises, and new recovery-focused skills and approaches, I still trust strangers on the other end of a helpline phone call now and then. I also have people around me now with whom I can talk about my mental health openly if I need to. And I know how and where to get different kinds of help or information as I need it. I'm proactive in my condition management, and I have people around me who challenge me to grow and live my best life. She gifted me that. She saved me one small phone call at a time. Reflections. A story by Caroline. I drop a pebble into the water that laps onto the sand. I can see my distorted reflection in the surface of the ocean. It's how I saw myself. It's an analogy of my life, focusing on the warped images instead of what's really there. It's my calm place, walking on a beach at the water's edge, wind blowing, gentle ripples. It all energizes me. Someone calls my name. I look up. We smile at each other. It's not the distorted reflections they recognize. This gives me hope. When I look back at the water, I focus on my image in the still water, and I can see myself more clearly. Self-reflection helps me to work on self-acceptance. Acceptance from others doesn't define me. I need to be me, to continue learning to be my true self. In this happy place, the feeling of calm and freedom helps to maintain a more positive frame of reference for my life's journey. Moving now towards the end of our booklet, a little about the Southern Area Protect Life Implementation Group, who partnered with the Mental Health Forum in this creation. The Southern Area Protect Life Implementation Group, SPLIG, is a multi-agency group with representatives from both statutory and community and voluntary sectors. The primary purpose of the group is to ensure implementation of Protect Life 2, the Suicide Prevention Strategy for Northern Ireland, 2019 to 2024, at a local level. Protect Life 2 recognises the critical role that communities have in suicide prevention, and our Southern PLIG ensures that coordinated approach in delivering key actions locally. It creates better linkages and understanding between statutory service providers, electoral representatives, and community and voluntary sector representatives at a local level. It ensures that the voice of lived experience is at the forefront of shaping local service provision and ensures local input into the Regional Strategy Implementation Steering Group, and vice versa. The Southern Area Group meets on a quarterly basis and monitors progress against objectives set out in our local 3-year action plan. The Mental Health Forum is proud to bring lived experience representation to this group and to partner in community information sharing and support that can help build resilience, promote wellness, and save lives. To view the current SPLIG action plan, visit the Southern Trust website or contact the Mental Health Forum for a download link or a digital copy. The Southern PLIG logo was designed through co-production and is intended to evoke a sense of compassion, hope, and positive well-being. And finally, a little about the Mental Health Forum itself. The Mental Health Forum serves the Southern Health and Social Care Trust area and has its office base in Newry. We are proud to be a peer-led organisation and to have lived experience driving all aspects of our work. We are deeply committed to building community resilience and so provide information, signposting, advice and opportunities to the public around mental health services, personal wellness or supports throughout the Trust area. We are leaders in delivering peer-led services, training and supports. Delivering opportunities for people with lived experience. Promoting awareness of mental health issues. Challenging stigma and discrimination. Championing recovery-orientated practice and initiatives. Working in co-production to improve mental health services. Offering mentored capacity building for co-production activity and personal growth. Embedding the voice of lived experience in suicide awareness initiatives, working to prevent deaths by suicide. Our charity was established in 1993 as a pathway for sharing between service user and carer community and their service providers. Continuing as that official voice of the service user community, the forum remains embedded with the Mental Health Division of Southern Trust to this day. This model is regionally unique. We engage directly with service providers in planning, delivering and monitoring mental health services both locally and regionally. Our Flights of Hope booklet ends with useful information and contact lists and helpful resource links. If you need help to access any of these, you can contact the Mental Health Forum via our website, thementalhealthforum.co.uk, or ring us on our office landline 028 3025 2423. If you find yourself in distress or despair at any time and would like to speak to someone for immediate help or listening ear, there are two key numbers that you can access free 24/7 every day of the year. The first is Lifeline, 0808 808 8000. The second is Samaritans 116 123. The Mental Health Forum would like to thank all members of the Flights of Hope project team and all contributors to this book for their generosity of sharing lived experience, encouragement, inspiration, and hope. If you'd like to be part of this project and add your story to our online archive or perhaps future publications, please do get in touch. We'll be happy to explain the process, and we can, if necessary, offer support as you write your piece. This concludes the audio version of our Flights of Hope booklet 2023. Many thanks for listening. If you'd like to download our original issue, you can get that on the Mental Health Forum website, www.thementalhealthforum.co.uk.